No, but that was my text. So, but there was that one phrase that we do read about there, you know, that the angels' proclamation, when they said, you know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And also in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and 27, Jesus made this declaration for us today, as well as for his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but only as I will give to each one of you. And then Isaiah prophesied, as we know, that familiar passage there in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you indeed that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace. He alone is the Prince of Peace. And Father, may we experience this day your peace, your inner calm assurance. Though the winds may blow and the storms may rage, but still there is that quiet confidence, that calm assurance, that peace that passes all understanding, as Paul wrote, that will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. We humbly thank you, for it's in your credible name we pray. Amen and amen. God's peace. You know, I believe that that is a longing for every individual. I'm sure the longing of your heart as well. Sometimes we often say, you know, if only I could have some peace and quiet. Have you ever had those moments? Have you ever had those days, especially when the kids really get rambunctious? Just some peace and some quiet for a moment. Time out. I've said that. You know, we raised two boys. And of course, now they have the one, you know, has two boys of their own. And they're rambunctious, as they ought to be, and get kind of crazy and wild as well. But there are those moments we just long for that peace. You know, in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, a lot of fighting going on, a lot of chaos, conflict, a lot of violence, a lot of turmoil. Still, the angels proclaim peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And Jesus declared, peace I leave with you. And Isaiah prophesied, he is the Prince of Peace. In the troubled world that we live in, God himself offers that peace. And it's not so much, you know, as far as having this peace, it all depends, you know, on the situation that's outside, because you won't find it there. But it's the condition of one's heart that's deep within your heart, my heart. To be able to sing and be able to declare in that old hymn that it is well. It is well with my soul. Only because, and the hymn writer who wrote that particular hymn, he experienced tragedy in his life. Did you know that? Horatio Spafford, I believe his name was, who wrote that hymn. Because he sent his daughters and his wife to go across the Atlantic Ocean over to England, I believe. And in their voyage, and he would say he would join them later. Well, the news is, the story is, that when they got about halfway over, tragedy occurred that the ship sunk. It hit an iceberg, I believe, and it sunk. Only his wife survived, the children did not. And so he got Horatio, you know, got everything ready, sailed over to meet his wife, who was already over there in England. And when he got almost to the exact spot where that tragedy occurred, and he was standing on the deck of the ship, those words came to mind, because he was torn inside. He was going through some heartache and through some pain. But yet, down deep in his soul, he was able to say, in the midst of all the tragedy that has occurred and the loss of my dear children, I can still declare, it is well. It is well with my soul. Something within, not the situation, but deep within his soul. I mean, let's consider, if we would, for a moment here. Consider the life of Jesus when he was here on earth, because he didn't have an easy life. There were problems. There were issues. There was turmoil, as we read about the gospel accounts. And yet Jesus himself was able to fall asleep in a boat in the midst of a storm so threatening that the disciples were terrified. Because they thought, I mean, here's Jesus, you know, can you imagine? You're out on a boat, you know, and Jesus is there with you, and the storm brews up, and the boat is about ready to sink. It's thundering and it's lightning, and it's pouring down the rain, and the boat is being tossed back and forth. And here's Jesus, fast asleep. And the disciples, they're terrified, as I mentioned to you, and they go over and they try to wake him up. And Lord, don't you care? We're about to perish. And Jesus calmly stands up and rebukes the wind and the waves and the rain, and all becomes perfectly calm. I mean, in a storm so threatening, Jesus was fast asleep. How about you when the storms rage in your life? What is your response? What goes on? You know, there's something interesting, you know, because I read just recently, I would encourage, maybe not now, but you know, sometimes when you hear something, you know, the pastor kind of would say, you know, I would encourage you to read a passage, and then people start flipping, I want to see that, what it says. Psalm 88. The psalmist there in that passage, as you read it, he was in despair, and he was crying out to God for help. He felt in his own journey that he was going through, you know, that God had forsaken him, that God had rejected him. He was crying out. He was suffering. He was going through a period of affliction. He was near death, as the passage says. He says, Lord, I just don't know where you are at and what on earth is really going on, but I really need you at such an hour, at such a time. There was a storm that was raging in his life, and sometimes when the storms come upon our lives as well, we cry out likewise, Lord, where are you when I really need you at this time? You seem so silent. Now, Psalmist, it's interesting how he ends the passage, because he ends it by saying something like this: I find only darkness to be my friend. It's a passage you kind of read and kind of scratch your head and wonder what's going on. His faith was there, yes. Otherwise, he wouldn't be crying out to God. But sometimes we may experience in our journey through the storms of life what someone coined the phrase, the darkness of one's soul. Not the darkness of hell, not the darkness of sin, but it's just so dark. You believe in the existence of God, but you're questioning, God, where are you during this storm that's occurring in my life? Have you abandoned me? Have you forsaken me? Because I still remember that, the cry of my wife as well, when she was so ill a year ago. She looked right at me and she said, has God abandoned us? There comes a time that you do question. It's okay to question. God's big enough to handle it. He really is. He can handle the questions that we have in our lives. And I know there was a song put out by Mercy Me. And it's entitled, Even If. Even If. And the song declared the fact, you know, God, I know that you're able to heal. I know you're able to restore. I'm kind of paraphrasing that song. I know you're able to do so many wonderful things. But even if you don't, my hope will always be in you. So what storm are you going through even right now? You know, I was talking a little while ago, you know, and don't you find, you know, the transition that we have from one day to the next, how stormy it was on Friday, how, you know, the winds were howling, at least at my place, you know, they were howling during the night. I just wonder if I would have anything intact, you know, when I wake up in the morning. Then when I woke up in the morning, it was totally, what, a different day. I mean, the sun was shining and the wind was not blowing. And I was outside, you know, that afternoon just kind of ridding up a little bit. And I thought, wow, what a change. It was calm. It was, in a way, peaceful. Storms don't last forever. But our hope remains intact with Jesus. Another time with Jesus as well, that he faces over 5,000 hungry people plus some, which many believe, you know, this is just 5,000 men. So if their wives were with them, you were talking about 10,000. And if the children were there, who knows, maybe 15,000. I mean, we don't know, but just we're surmising that. But he assures his worried disciples that he knows what he will do. The disciples are worried, wondering, well, where are we going to get all the food to feed all these people? All we have is just a few loaves and some fish, you know. What's that among so many? And Jesus calmly says, just, guys, let's just have them sit down. Bring the few fish, bring the loaves of bread. We'll feed them. You will feed them, he says. And sometimes in life, you know, worry. You know, that phrase we often say, you know, I think I'm sure, you know, why worry when what? You can what? Pray? Yeah. And sometimes worry does, it robs us of joy. It robs us of peace. And yet Jesus calmly assures his disciples, guys, I've got it all under control. I know what I'm going to do. And sometimes when life sometimes becomes threatening and we begin to worry, keep in mind, he wants us to keep in mind, he has it all under control. Even when life looks like it's out of control, he is in control. I think I mentioned to you some time back, you know, God, you know, when things happen to us, you know, that's out of our control, God is up there, you know, He doesn't say, you know, well, my goodness, I didn't see that coming. He knows. And I believe God allows certain things to happen to us, not because he's mean, but he knows what we need so that we walk closer with him and depend upon him and rely upon him. Even the professional mourners at one time at the home of Jairus, they laughed in his face when he tells them the little girl is only asleep. But he calmly enters her room and raises her from the dead. I don't know what loss that you have gone through in your life, but there's always that pain that we go through. Through the loss of whatever may occur. And I remember here several weeks ago, my sister and husband, they invited me to spend, you know, the weekend with them Friday and Saturday, and they were going to a Christmas concert on Friday night. And so they wanted me to go along with them. It was way up, you know, a place called Big Run. I don't know if you ever heard of Big Run, but it's close to Punxsutawney. I think everybody knows where Punxsutawney is at. You know, the groundhog coming out here maybe in about a couple months or so. Yeah. And so I sat beside an elder here about a year ago when I went back to church for the first time after the passing of my wife. And it was on Groundhog's Day, you know, of all days for me to go. But I knew I had to get back into church. I had to get back into fellowship with God's people and above all of my worship to the Lord, which I know we don't worship him just in church. It's everywhere. And every day we can worship him. But I knew I had to get back, you know. And so I sat down. And this elder, you know, he knew that my wife just recently passed away about three weeks ago. And he comes and he sits right beside me. I didn't say a word to him. You know, he just quietly sat beside me, and then he started to pray. I didn't ask him to pray. He just started to pray, and he said, "Lord, I cannot imagine what Rich is going through, but I know his house is empty. May you fill that house with your love and with your peace and with your comfort." I didn't even ask him. He just intuitively came and sat beside me at my time of loss. And at the time of loss that you all go through, though this was an elder, the reality is he was Jesus coming beside me and reassuring me, "Rich, I know the pain that you're going through. My love will carry you through." And his love always does. And then the elder, you know, after he was done praying and so forth, he kind of looked at me and he said, "You know, today is Groundhog Day." I said, I know that. You know, he's talking to me now. But yet I was at such peace, such comfort, because just that very simple, you know, it wasn't a theological prayer, wasn't a long prayer, it was just a short prayer and a comforting prayer. But when he said about being Groundhog Day, he said, I think Williamsburg needs to declare, you know, Porcupine Day. He was just, I knew what he was doing, you know, because he knew I was sad, but there'd be joy also, not only peace, but it did the same thing to you folks. What'd you do when I said that? You kind of laughed, didn't you? Kind of brought you a sense of happiness and of joy. Well, don't we need that in our world today? I mean, I'm not saying go around and make jokes all the time so people will laugh. I'm not saying that, you know. But you understand. There's something about joy, happiness, peace that sustains us in our time that we all go through. And it's only through Jesus. And Jesus wants to, you know, he wants to use you. He wants to use me to bring that about in the lives and hearts of people that are so wounded and so hurting in our world today. Even another time, you know, even the demoniac, you know, in the graveyard of Gadara did not frighten him, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's able to bring peace to this person's divided and distressed heart. You know, in the world, you know, and I think, you know, this did not frighten him. This demoniac, you know, came to Jesus, bowed to him. And yet Jesus brought peace to his heart by delivering him. And I guess, again, we got to look at ourselves, you know, what is it that frightens us in life? You know, fear grips so many people. You know, I mean, yeah, I have certain fears as well. You know, when I'm out driving, you know, and the roads get icy, I get a little fearful. And I have a fear of electricity as well, because that fear teaches me not to touch it when it's bare, right? There's a certain, you know, so that's a good fear to have. But also there's a fear, you know, that just robs people of, again, not only of worry, but also of wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ. And God longs to deliver us from that kind of fear. And I believe that's why the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, in the world that we live in today, you know, that's filled with so much evil and so much corruption that we hear about and that we read about today, and sometimes, you know, it influences our own thinking as well. Paul says, you know, in the day and age that they were living in and the day and age that we are living in as well, you know, how important it is, and you know the passage I'm going to refer to there in Ephesians chapter 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against darkness and evil." We wrestle with that. And he goes on to say what? Put on what? The full armor of God. the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet sandaled, you know, with the readiness of the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, to put that armor on, not just on Sunday morning, you know, but I believe, you know, as I was thinking about it, you know, this morning, how we need to put on that armor almost every single day, because the enemy is out there. Satan is out there. He's got his little demons out there as well. They want to devour us. They want to destroy us. They want to destroy you as well. And you got to be fully clothed with his armor. And to lift up the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, and knowing that it was the cross that defeated the wiles of Satan himself. Our focus is not so much on the enemy. The focus needs to be on Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, to serve him and to worship him. And when that demoniac came up, you know, to Jesus, he wasn't afraid, because Jesus, God, and he delivered him. That's Elon, because Jesus is in the business today of healing, yes, but also he's in the business of deliverance as well. In the journey that we are on, in the journey that you're on, likewise. And thus it brings peace. You know, in the garden, Peter pulls out a sword and declares war. But Jesus calmly faces the mob and peacefully surrenders to be arrested and to be crucified. Wow. How would you respond at a time like that? And knowing also after you know, Peter had done that, I mean, Peter was declaring war because he went for the jugular. Even though the scripture tells us it was his ear that was cut off, he just kind of missed. And of course, could you imagine the guy, you know, with that ear, you know, being cut off? I mean, he tells Peter, you know, Peter, put that away. This is not the time. And then Jesus goes, here's that ear that's laying on the ground. And Jesus just stoops down, picks up that ear, and old Malchus, you know, he just kind of puts it back on. Yeah. I mean, his entire trial is a mockery of justice. And yet Jesus calmly moves from judge to judge as a lamb to the slaughter, and he does not open his mouth, and even Pilate marveled at his silence. And even the prisoners curse their executioners, and yet Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If people do battle, it's one of those areas as well. The unforgiving spirit. Well, I will never forgive that person. So you're better than Jesus? Because he forgave. He forgave. We can go on with those thoughts. But Jesus comes to bring peace to your wounded and weary heart, to sinner and saint. He comes to bring peace. We may wonder in our minds, you know, how this peace is possible. Well, it's possible only when we know in our hearts that we're at peace with God. Because Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father, to bring us to the Father. He bore your sin, my sin, there on the cross of Calvary, that we would be delivered and be at peace. When the angels made that proclamation, you know, 2,000 years ago, peace on earth. It's not found, you know, through circumstances. It's not found in any particular situation. It's not found through people. It's only found through Jesus Christ and having a genuine faith in Jesus alone, trusting him alone. But it's also, I need to begin to realize, you know, why am I so restless? Why am I so much turmoil? Why all these things going on? Why am I so upset all the time? Why am I not at peace? Maybe it's because you're not at peace with God. Maybe. That's something where we need to do some searching, you know, because there, I believe it's there in Psalm 139, where the psalmist said there at the very end of that passage, you know, he says, search me, O God, because you alone, you know my heart. You know my thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. And if there is sin in my life, Lord, I want you to make it clear to me because I am in such turmoil. And I'm struggling with this sin issue. Lord, I need to know. Because if you would, the idea that he came to reconcile us to the Father who loves us dearly and deeply and passionately. The only way is understanding the fact, no, Jesus alone is the one who bridged that gap. Because you and I cannot, in our own strength and doing a lot of good things, have access to the Father. Good works don't do it. I mean, if it was all based on good works, Jesus would not have had to die. He wouldn't have said, oh, you know, let them do their good thing. Let them be a good person. Let them do some nice things to their neighbor. I don't need to send my son. As long as they do good things, it's going to be okay. They're going to get there in heaven. And Jesus knew, God knew, goodness wasn't going to get you into heaven. Goodness was not going to give you the peace that you long for or the joy that he can bring about in your life. Goodness wasn't going to do. He had to send his son. He sent his son in the fullness of time to bridge that gap so that we can have access. It's recognizing the fact, if you would, let's say this side. Now, I'm not saying when I say this side, I'm not going to, oh, he's telling me? Well, really, the reality is, yeah, let this side be represent man. Now, when I say man, I'm saying that, you know, in the generic sense, you know, man and woman, okay? So follow me there. The Bible says about our condition, as it says there in Romans 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also says there in Romans chapter 6 that it says that the wages of sin is death. And also says there in the book of Isaiah, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. So the Bible is very clear. Good works isn't going to get me to have access with the Father. And let's say the Father is over here. Okay? I'm over there. My condition is I'm lost. My condition is I'm a sinner. My condition is I am condemned for an eternal hell without God. Though I want to have this relationship with God, but it seems like every time I try to move in that direction in my own strength and by doing a lot of good works, it seems like I always come up short. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And his standard is that of perfection. How are you doing on that department? Not very good, huh? Because it seems like it gets wider and wider and wider. But I know that God loves me, and he loves me unconditionally. And the Bible does say, for God so loved the world. But also, keep in mind, God is a God of love. But God also is just. And the wicked by no means will go unpunished. Because the day of reckoning will come. And Jesus spoke often. In fact, I believe Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. That's something, you know, we need to realize that. And so, in the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus to bridge that gap between man and God so we would have access to God. And all that Jesus asked, because he bore your sin, my guilt, my shame, he bore it all on the cross of Calvary. And all that he asked of me, will you believe? Will you repent? Will you turn from your sin? Because I have provided the road. I have provided the way. And that way is the cross. And when I cross that way with Jesus, who bridged that gap, I'm walking with him, he sets me free. Does not mean that all your problems and all your heartache and all your pain and all your struggles goes away. That won't happen until we're all in eternity with Jesus. But he's there as that elder came along and sat beside me and just said that very simple prayer. He didn't know I needed that. God knew I needed that. And he sent him there just to have that prayer with me. And there could be angels unaware, as the Bible talks about, that may indeed come along your side and give you what you need at that particular time in your journey that you are on, that will provide the peace in your own heart and your own soul. Because see, now that I know Jesus, now I came to faith in Christ because of the cross, because of his blood that was shed for me, doesn't mean I just stop there. No, I got to continue to walk with Jesus. I got to continue because the Bible says there in the book of Galatians, how it says, yet we live in the Spirit, because the moment we came to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said that, in the Gospel of John, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to be living in you. So when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? He filled a void in your heart, and that is his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit right now is in you. It is Jesus in you. He's in you. He's in me. But knowing that, as Paul said there in the book of Galatians, yes, we live in the Spirit, but also now we got to walk in the Spirit. Now, walking what? Does that mean? Okay, here I stand. But you all know what walking means, don't you? I mean, there are days, that I go down to the trail there at Alexandria, and I know my destination, is to reach the mile marker. Because I got a nice bench there, and I usually like to sit on that bench. Because the doctor told me, he said, Rich, because of your back issues, don't overdo. That's why I got to, move around. I think I already explained that to you a lot, because my back begins to stiffen up. And so I know where that mile marker is at. Doesn't do me a whole lot of good just to stand there and say, well, I know that marker's about a mile down the road. Well, yeah, I know it's there, but I'm just going to stand here and just hope that it'll come. No, I got to put forth what? I got to start walking. And as I'm walking along that trail, like the two on the Emmaus Road, Jesus shows up. And he begins talking to them. Now their eyes were kind of kept a little bit from them. Then they realized who it was that was talking to them. But guess what? On the trail of life, and as I'm on that trail walking, there are days when I'm talking to Jesus. In my mind, in my heart, my spirit, I'm talking to him. And other times I may talk to, I talk to people when they pass by, or a dog, or something like that, engage in conversation with them. But that's me. You got to find your space, as far as your place, when you're talking to Jesus. But you're on the trail of life, and he wants us to be walking towards him every single day, to talk. Well, I don't know what to say. Sometimes he just enjoys the fact that you're willing to be in his presence and in fellowship with him. Then I do reach that bench. And sometimes when I'm sitting on that bench, I'll cry out to him too. Then I get up and skip. No, I don't really don't skip. It just feels good. I feel good. I don't want to base everything on feelings, because my feelings, believe me, they are up and down all over the place sometimes. But in your heart, you've met the Master. He's already with you, but just to be in fellowship with him and to walk with him, to talk with him. He enjoys our time that we have, with him every single day, and it just gives you so much peace. I mean, it was hard when I had that endoscopy. I had it on Monday. The reason why I say it was hard, because Diane wasn't there with me. That was my wife. For those who don't know, those who do probably do know. Because I know normally she would have been there. I know that. And when I knew that they were going to put me under, I always play this game. I don't know whether you play the game or not, but I do. And he tells me, he says, okay, we're about ready to put you under. I mean, they put the plastic thing in my mouth, because we've got to take that tube, so it can kind of go down and kind of what's down there. And I'm sitting there, and I knew he's doing that much, I'm rolled all over onto my side, I'm laying there and they're doing that, you know. And in my mind, right away, I said, okay, but I'm going to put you to the test and we'll see how long I can stay awake. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. You know, those, that's a game I kind of play. And the moment I think that, I hear, Rich, you're trying to wake me up. I think, you got to be kidding. And of course, then I always make the crazy statement of saying to him, that was the best sleep I ever had. You know, can you bottle that for me and I can take it home? You know, because it was just, I was just out. And it was funny, you know, when I woke up, you know, someone asked me, you know, what room were you in? Because on the walls was the cartoon characters from the movie Cars. And I looked right at it and said, oh, Cars! From the movie Cars. Then to my right was the cartoon characters of Frozen. And I looked over there and I said, oh, Frozen, characters from Frozen. Then I looked to my left and I said, oh, there's Pluto and Mickey and Minnie Mouse. And the nurse kind of said, well, it's good that you're able to make connections of what you see. It was obvious I wasn't in heaven, but yet I was a little bit, you know, kind of woozy. And then the nurse started asking me questions. I found I was kind of gaining consciousness and so forth. And she was asking me questions, you know. And of course, they did ask me, so is it gonna be, are you safe at home? Well, I said, I'm only by myself. Then it just kind of hit me. You know, when I go home, I'm going back home to an empty house. I mean, it just hit me, just where I was at. It just kind of hit me there. Then, of course, I got teary-eyed, and she saw this. Oh, boy, what's this guy doing here? Yeah, because I knew in the chair, in there, Diane would have been sitting. But we talked some more, you know, and she saw, you know, we kind of getting that way, you know, and teary-eyed and so forth. And then finally she kind of said to me, she said, well, you're pretty good, you know, we're probably going to have you go out. Do you need a wheelchair? And I said, no, I don't think so. She said, well, tell you what, I'll let you get fully clothed. I'll dismiss myself while you do that. Then I'll come back in, see how you're doing, and maybe you can walk out. I said, okay. So I did, you know, and she comes back in, you know, and she said, what do you, I said, yeah, I did pretty good standing up. She said, I'll tell you what. She says, not that far, but I'll come right beside you and I'll hold on to your arm as you walk out. Never underestimate the power of touch. I don't mean the sensual type of touch, a comforting touch. Because when you've gone so long without an embrace or a hand holding on, you'll understand this. With her just doing that, there was a profound sense of comfort and peace, as if Jesus was saying, that's me. I'm coming along your side, and I'm walking with you in this journey that you are on. He's an awesome God, is he not? He knows when we're hurting. He knows when you are hurting. He knows when you are struggling. And he comes alongside the Holy Spirit, our helper. Don't you find that interesting? Because when God created man, he saw it wasn't good for him to be alone. And then he took a bone out of Adam's side. Not his head. Not his feet, his side. One who would be alongside of, beside, a helpmate. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as a what? Helpmate. One who comes alongside. Jesus, who is yes in you, but beside you. As Jesus knew I needed that elder to come and sit beside me, follow this now, as he came and sit beside me, on that day he provided a nurse who stood beside me and walked with me. And there was peace. God's peace. Can you capture that in your mind? May you be blessed in this Christmas season with his peace and with his love and his joy. Amen. Father, thank you again for your peace, your joy, and your love. We sing this song, Lord, O little town of Bethlehem. We sing it to you. Come and abide with us, our Lord, our Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Josiah, you got that song? Okay, thank you.